long stream of verses in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is narrating Lord Krishna's thoughts, which led him to the conclusion that he would have to appear as the golden avatar. A very deep topic and confidential. Kaviraj Goswami adds his own words amidst those of Krishna at one point, where he says, "This is so confidential that it's not proper to disclose it. But if I don't, then who will understand this most priceless, precious matter? Therefore, I will disclose it, because the devotees will cherish this topic, like songbirds relishing the nectar of new buds on a flowering tree. And the non-devotees, like camels, they won't even understand it. So who could be more happy?" Nevertheless, we use discretion when we're talking about the intimate thoughts of the Lord. In this purport, amidst that long flow of verses describing Krishna's inner contemplation about this most confidential matter, in this one purport, Srila Prabhupada really crystallizes the matter of what is the significance of the appearance of the golden avatar, how it relates to us, and specifically the topic that has been evolving the past few days about rasa, how Mahaprabhu is only worshipped in Santa and Dasi Ras, and in Vaikuntha there's only those two rasas. You know, Krishna's queens are not really in Madhurya in the Braj sense of the term, they're really in Dasi Ras, where they're serving Krishna in the role of queens, but it's not Madhurya in the higher sense. So in Vaikuntha, there is two rasas, Shanta and Dasi Ras. In Braj, there's four rasas, because usually Santa Ras is not included within the mellows of Vrindavan. So Braj means Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. And this topic of how Shanta and Dasya applied to Lord Gauranga transmutes into Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya when Mahaprabhu transforms, when Mahaprabhu of Nadia transforms to Radha and Krishna of Braj. That topic, which is not only intriguing to the mind, but really essential to understand in the application of our sadhana, to receive the gift that Mahaprabhu is giving, is beautifully and simply crystallized in this purport. Verse 50 of Adilula, chapter 4. This is after Krishna is contemplating the depths of Srimati's love. This conclusion. Translation. "Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Hari himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Purport by his divine grace." And he if you pay attention to what he's saying in his purport, it's the key to unlocking all the mysteries of Lord Gauranga's appearance and how to apply that understanding in our sadhana to attain the full merit of his appearance this Sunday. Of the four kinds of reciprocation of loving service, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Madhurya is considered the fullest. But the conjugal relationship is further divided into two varieties, Sakya and Parakya. Sakya is the relationship with Krishna as a formerly married husband, and Parakya is the relationship with Krishna as paramour. Expert analysts have decided that the transcendental ecstasy of the Parakya Mela is better because it is more enthusiastic. This phase of conjugal love is found in those who have surrendered to the Lord in intense love, knowing well that such illicit love with a paramour is not morally approved in society. The risks involved in such love of Godhead make this emotion superior to the relationship in which such risk is not involved. The validity of such risk, however, is possible only in the transcendental realm. Svakya and Parakya conjugal love of Godhead have no existence in the material world, and Parakya is not exhibited anywhere in Vaikuntha, but only in the portion of Goloka Vrindavan known as Braja. Some devotees think that Krishna is eternally the enjoyer of Goloka Vrindavan, but only sometimes comes to the platform of Braja to enjoy Parakya Ras. The six Goswamis, however, have explained that Krishna's pastimes in Braja are eternal, like his other activities in Goloka Vrindavan. Braja is a confidential part of Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna exhibited his Braja pastimes on the surface of this world, and similar pastimes are eternally exhibited in Braja in Goloka Vrindavan, where Parakya Rasa is ever existent. In the third chapter of this epic, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explicitly accepted the fact that Krishna appears in this material world at the end of the Dvapara Yuga and brings with him his Brajadam, which is the eternal abode of his highest pastimes. As the Lord appears by his own internal potency, so he also brings all his paraphernalia by the same internal potency without extraneous help. It is further stated here in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Parakya sentiment is existent only in the transcendental realm and nowhere else. This highest form of ecstasy can exist only in the most confidential part of the transcendental world. But by the causeless mercy of the Lord, we can have a peep into that invisible Raja. The transcendental mellow relished by the gopis in Braja is super excellently featured in Srimati Radharani. Mature assimilation of the transcendental humor of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani, whose feelings are incomprehensible even to the Lord himself. The intensity of her loving service is the highest form of ecstasy. No one can surpass Srimati Radharani in relishing the transcendental mellow qualities of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord himself agreed to assume the position of Srimati Radharani in the role of Sri Gauranga. He then relished the highest position of Parakya Ras as exhibited in the transcendental abode of Braja. Om Aginatiramandasya Gnajana Shalakaya Sakshuram Mugitam Yena Tasme Sri Gauranga. We've been discussing lately how we cannot artificially impose the sentiments of Sakya, what to speak of Vatsalya and Madhurya, upon the Lord. because these are not relationships of this world. What we practice in this world in the passive form is shanta, and active devotional service is dasya. Because it is the influence of yoga maya only which makes Krishna become the equal or the junior or come under the deluding spell of his paramour. These are higher rasas of yoga maya which have no existence in this world, not to be imagined or imitated or pursued outside of the strict principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi comes from Vidhi, which means rules and regulations. And Srila Prabhupada is very emphatic that not following the principles of Vaidhi simply causes disturbance. Disturbance to Krishna, disturbance to society, disturbance to the world. And therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati fought valiantly against the disturbances created by those who did not have the proper understanding of the Siddhanta of Mahaprabhu's teachings. And this leads to a very significant point regarding why Lord Chaitanya came. It was after Lord Krishna engaged in the full spectrum of mellows in Braja, because the full spectrum is all contained in the Parakya above, and that's why it's so relishable to Krishna. The fullest range of adventure and intrigue and romance and pleasure and surrender and sacrifice and dedication reaches its utmost pinnacle in Parakya Bhav, which includes and surpasses all other rasas. So Krishna was contemplating, after completing his pastimes in this world, that I didn't do what I needed, because I left no means by which the living entities can enter into the pastimes that I just displayed. And he began to reflect. All the world worships me in veneration, because everyone knows the Lord is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the entire creation. And therefore, it's the natural tendency of the jiva, especially the human, to worship the Lord. That's natural. But when that kind of reverential worship is applied to Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, the relisher of mellows, it cripples our potential love, which Krishna's Braja Leela and Lord Chaitanya's subsequent Leela with his teachings was meant to award us entrance into. And Krishna was thinking, the living entities are my children. I'm their father. I have a duty toward them. I must give them a means of entering into this highest rasa of unalloyed pure love, which gives perfect satisfaction to Krishna as well as the jiva soul. Whereas devotion rendered with reverence is less pleasing to Krishna because it's distanced by that barrier that he is so exalted and great. We are so lowly, inferior, and that vast distance between us makes an intimate relationship impossible. So, Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha and the four types of liberation, where you can attain a form like the Lord, you can be close to the Lord, live on the Lord's planet, and have opulences like the Lord. But what of love? There's only two rasas, Shanta and Dasya and Vaikuntha, whereas there's four in Braja. So how to cross over that realm of Vaikuntha and into Braja? That's why Krishna comes as a devotee. Because in serving him, in his form of a devotee, we are serving Krishna in Vaidhi, the rules and regulations which lead to Vaikuntha. Simultaneously, we're serving the devotee, the ragatmaka. Ragatmaka means one who has that raga, that pure love. And the emblem of pure love in Braja is Srimati Radharani. So in worshipping Lord Chaitanya, you're worshipping Krishna in Vaidhi, and you're also following the path of Raganuga. Anuga means follow. Raga, the path of love. Following the Ragatmaka, one who has that love. Raganuga Bhakti is spontaneous devotion in which the opulence and the reverence is eclipsed and drowned out by the sweetness of the loving exchanges. And what is the Vaidhi by which we serve the Lord? Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishna Sangupanga Saparsalam Yagai Sankirtana Praya Janti Hisamedasa. Krishna Varnam. He's always chanting Krishna Krishna. And yet, Tusa Krishnam, he's not dark like Krishna. Sangupanga Saparsalam. And he has his weapons and armies. The weapon is the holy name. The armies is the devotees. In this way, Karabhajana Muni gives a forecast of the Kali Yuga, which would follow millions of years after he spoke these words in the Satya Yuga. So that Akrishnam is Gaura, who is chanting Hare Krishna and spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna, and is worshipped by the process of Sankirtan. That is the yajna. So this clarifies everything and is the most essential point in understanding the proper worship and goal of worship of serving Lord Chaitanya. So Srimati Radharani is the ultimate ragatmika, the emblem of love and the source of love. But in this line we are Rupanugas, following Rupamanjari, who is especially involved with new recruits into the Lord's entourage. And in ISKCON we are Prabhupadanugas, following his example and instructions. Access to Braj necessitates we follow in the footsteps of one resident of Braj. I mean, all of them in a sense, but one specifically. We follow the Premi Bhaktis. Premi Bhaktis, those who have that love. When Rukmini was questioning, why is Krishna so absent-minded in Dwarka? It became more clear to her in time that although his body resided in Dwarka, his mind and heart were in Braja. And she was informed that, well, because we're serving him so nicely with care and attention, and it doesn't even register to him. And it was explained that the opulence of Braja makes the opulence of Vaikuntha insignificant. This was all reenacted in a sequence of events in Rathayatra when Lakshmi comes out and arrests Lord Jagannath's servitors and Narada Muni and Srivas Thakur are having a debate. I mean, Srivas Thakur in the mood of Narada Muni. And then Surup Damodar, Lord Chaitanya said, well, Surup Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He told Srivas, you don't know what opulence is. Listen to him. And he explained, in Vrindavan, every tree is Kalpavriksha, every cow Kamadhenu. The land is Chintamani. Everything and everyone has the potential to fulfill all the desires of Krishna and everyone. And Krishna desires only love, and he is bound by that love. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this in Nectar of Devotion that entrance to Braja necessitates following the footsteps and receiving the invitation of those residents of that land. And Lakshmi Devi cannot enter there. When she told Narayan she wanted to enter into Rasa Lila, he said, you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And what does this mean? Milking cows, collecting cow dung patties, carrying pots on your head. Not very glamorous. And she said, I can't do that. Why did she fail? She could not give up her conception of being the goddess of fortune to follow in the footsteps of these cowherd maids, simple village girls. It was impossible for her. So she had to settle on becoming Srivatsa, the mark on the Lord's chest. So Srila Prabhupada is very strict on these points because there are plenty of authorized scriptures that tell you, you have to have your siddha deha revealed to you and practice that. And there's plenty of people who will exploit that sentiment to reveal to you your spiritual form and function and give you a mantra to achieve it. And we had one godbrother. He was a sannyasi. But at a certain point in his life, he started moving in a very awkward way, like this. And, hey, what's going on? They said he was given his Siddha Pranali Mantra and his Siddha Deha. In the spiritual world, he serves Krishna's Braja Lila as a peacock. And he had to practice to learn how to serve in that way. And the next day he was gone. He didn't come back to the temple until he was on the verge of death. Fortunately, at that time, he turned back to Srila Prabhupada's teachings very sincerely. So, our sarup isn't inherent within. You don't need somebody to tell you what it is. You need somebody to reveal to you a process by which to dissolve that covering. And it will reveal itself. And Srila Prabhupada said, the process is so simple, yet so profound. The most profound realizations are awarded to someone who simply worships Lord Gauranga in Sankirtan. And to purify our hearts individually so that we can properly relate to others in loving mood in the Sankirtan, we practice sadhana of japa. And to keep ourselves pure, the regulative principles. And always thinking, feeling, and acting as servant of the servant of the servant, without which nothing will be pleasing to Krishna or attract his attention. And Lord Gauranga was in Braja. He loved to chant in the shade of Imlita, which appears to be a tamarind tree, but is actually a kalpavriksha. And when he would chant Hare Krishna there, his golden form would turn darkish, remembering his previous pastimes there as Krishna. Because that was the meeting place where he was destined to meet with Radha. And on the full moon night, when the eagerness was awakening within the hearts of Radha and Krishna, Srimati's Manjaris dressed her in a swan white sari with pearl jewelry and smeared her with white sandalwood to assist her in merging into the moonlight, so she would not be detected in her movements through the alleys of Arshana into the forest to reach Imlita. And then she went off into the full moon night, carefully dodging the shadows where her effulgence would reveal her presence. And like a timid doe or fawn, you know, very fearful that any moving shadow might be a villager who would catch her leaving the palace at night, it took her a long time to reach Imlita. Whereas Krishna, as Mother Jashoda was putting him to bed, narrating sweet pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, until his eyes closed, he turned his head under the pillow, and she stroked his butter soft body, and then very quietly tiptoed out of the room, looking back to make sure he was asleep before she closed the door. And then his eyes opened, he looked back and forth, he got up, and he left the palace, taking shelter of the shadows to avoid detection as he approached Imlita. So he was able to reach there a lot quicker. And when he reached the kunj, he saw it was empty. He was thinking, where is my Priyati? Is she coming? She was still a distance away. And as she was approaching, Krishna was going deeper and deeper into separation, absence made him so anxious to quench the flames of separation as she was moving toward the Kunj. And with each and every falling leaf, he looked to see, is that her footsteps? Now, the same pastime is described by the Nimbark Sampradaya with a completely different emphasis. The way they see the pastime . It's a different angle of vision. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas see that Krishna is anxious for Radha. They see that she's anxious for him. But Krishna is anxious, and he keeps going outside to look, is she coming? And in a mood of deep separation, longing and yearning, he began to see everything as Brajarupa, which is a name for Srimati. Everything became, all the natural phenomena of Braja became her features. The crisscross waves on the winding course of the Jamuna became her braid. Flowers in that river became the decorations in her hair. The moonlight on the water became the sheen of her hair. And the scent carried by the wind across the moon became the fragrance of her hair. And he was just seeing her form and features everywhere in the natural phenomena of Braja. And seeing her everywhere, he began to contemplate, one who is more qualified than me alone could really satisfy me. But where is that person to be found? It is Srimati alone who can give me pleasure. So neither his infinite intellect or unfathomable heart or insatiable appetite could comprehend the merit in the name that he began to chant as he called for her. Radhe, 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 Radhe. And as she drew nearer to the Kunj, he became more oblivious to what was transpiring, and his mood and qualities changed as his tamal varna transformed into suvarna, and Lord Krishna became more and more golden. And even the birds and trees and creepers and animals were amazed because they'd never seen this golden form of Krishna before. And they stood speechless, looking in. And as Srimati approached and she saw the golden illumination emanating from that kunj, she thought, what is this? And when she peeked into the bower, and she saw this golden personality, she thought, is this a denizen descended from heaven? Or a forest deity waiting for his sylvan goddess? And she thought, Krishna must have come here and saw this person and gone on to the Yoga Pit, so I will go there to find him. And as she started to leave, she heard the voice, which forever resonates in her own heart, calling her name. And she turned back, and the vines and creepers and deer and birds made away as she entered that bower as gracefully as the daughter of the wind. And she recognized that's Krishna's voice, and that's Krishna's form. And he's calling my name. she addressed him, Sundar. And he opened his eyes. He was fully convinced that he was Srimati Radharani. And when he saw her standing before him, he asked, "Are you Radha?" She didn't answer. She just cocked her head. And Krishna, "Am I me? Am I, who am I? And do I, yes, I do exist. But who am I?" And she just smiled. And then he came to realize that he had totally come under the influence of her name, thinking that he was a gopi, anticipating the arrival of his beloved. And he explained that as I was wandering through the myriad of your infinite ecstasies, I came under the spell of your name, which filled me with your emotions, which transformed me into this golden figure. And she asked him, "But that form must be eternal and full of existence. Can you explain to me what it means?" And he said, "In the Kali Yuga, I will adopt the treasures of your heart, which outshines the treasures concealed in the heart of the Vedas." She said, "What will be the name of that form that you assume in that age?" And he said, "Gauranga." Srimati heard that name. She said, "Gauranga. When I say that name, I feel as if I'm saying your name." And Krishna said, "You're saying both our names, because the four syllables in Gauranga have the same potency as those in Radha Krishna. It is the same. It is both our names. And as Gauranga, I will taste the sweetness, happiness, and glory of your love, and I will award to the world a process by which they can all enter in to that same flavor of love. And I will taste what I desire, which is the flavor of your love, which as well as the flavor of all the devotees, of all the avatars inside and outside of Braja." Well, what does this mean? This means whatever bhakti any living entity has within their hearts is Srimati Radharani's potency. And Krishna wanted to taste that in all its infinity of forms and to distribute it. And when she asked, "How did you acquire my bhav by which you could ascertain my feelings?" he replied that it was your holy name which endowed me with all of your transcendental potencies. And when you're not looking, I will also plunder the treasure of your heart. Which infuriated her, because she knew that as a child, Krishna was always stealing their butter. When he was older, he stole their clothes, and now he's threatening to steal her heart. And after that, a witty argument ensued in which the false innuendos and hidden symbolisms and confidential truths revealed within the forest of Braja just delighted all the forest creatures to no end. And that same joy and delight and love was later woven into a garland to encircle all the world by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. When he was asked, you know, why do we have to call this the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? People won't understand what that means. We should say God Consciousness. He said, no. God Consciousness already exists in this world. They need Krishna Consciousness. Because that's where the full spectrum of loving exchanges are accessible with Krishna, who is all attractive. And as Srila Bhakti said unto Saraswati, would say, there's no scarcity in all the world of anything except Krishna consciousness. Because that is treasure that contains and surpasses everything, and is what our hearts are always yearning for. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Yes. No, that's not a mantra. It's just the names. Well, technically it's not a mantra, it's a name. Generally, a mantra is an address to the name. And that's why we were saying the other day that the Maha Mantra is different than a mantra. A mantra is an address to the name, which is as yet inaccessible. But through constant repetition of the mantra, it becomes accessible. The Maha Mantra is a string of the names. It's not an address to the names, it is the names, as is Gauranga.
I thought that because of Hari, the word Hari acts as an address. So it's a name, and it also acts as an address to the
name. It's an address in the vocative, which is a more intense way of saying the name. Radhe is an intense form of saying Radha. Hare is an intense way of saying Hara. It's a plaintive plea from a repentant heart for mercy, the vocative. How much feeling? There's more feeling in Hare than there is Hara. Like, as Srila Prabhupada said, we should chant the holy names like a child crying for mother, Mother Hara, addressed as Hare. This is serious. We are drowning in the ocean of ignorance and pleading for redemption. It's pleading, because a mother cannot refuse that address. Plaintive plea, with feeling. emotion. That's what Hare means. Anything else? Thank you very much. Shri the Prabhupada ki jai.